Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, that little letter just past 1 and 2 Timothy in the New Testament. Let's pray together before we read the Bible, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this, just this time together today. It's beautiful. Speak to us from your word. This is your word, Lord. Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And Paul's writing to Timothy is our scripture. We ask that you would open it to us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Picking up a conversation in the middle of verse 3, well, at the beginning of verse 3 of chapter 3 of the book of Titus, Paul's talking about how crazy we all used to be. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing good, doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. We're talking about memory. You know, we've got a couple of big anniversaries. Well, I have a couple of big anniversaries coming up. First of all, we all have September 11th coming up, the 20th anniversary of an attack on our homeland. And it'll be a real time of remembrance. How could it be 20 years, right? But 20 years ago. And also, I have a 50th anniversary coming up in a couple of weeks of when my whole world was turned upside down. I had heard the gospel. I had heard about Jesus my whole life. But when the Vietnam War was raging and the whole world seemed to be being turned upside down, and I knew that I was lost and had no idea what was going on in my life, I talked to this cute little Greek girl named Debbie at her house, Oak Grove, in Clarkston there. And I said, I don't know what to do. I know I'm lost. And she said to me, just talk to him. Just talk to him. So driving home, 65 Le Mans, arrest me red, you know. These two guys have two cars, that's color. I looked up through the windshield and I said one word. Now listen, I know that, you know, there is a sinner's prayer that people pray to become Christians to help them, you know, say the right things. But I already knew what the gospel was. And I looked up through my windshield and I said, I remember it was a starry night. There were pine trees on each side of me. And in the patch of sky, it was so clear that night. I said, okay. That was it. My life has never been the same since that moment 50 years ago, driving home from that cute girl's house that I've now been married to for 46 years. For her, it only seems like 96, but for me, it only seems like 16, but in all reality, it's 46. I have learned the same incredible things over and over and over and over again for 50 years. The gospel is so simple. God's work in our life is so profound and yet simple so that we can get it. And we find it here in this little section of Titus. You might have never heard of him. He's only referred to three times in the Bible. He was a dear friend of Paul's. He was a young Greek kid that came to Jesus through Paul's ministry. Paul entrusted him with so much great responsibility. He was like Paul's secretary of state. When something was really messed up, he would send Titus there. The church at Corinth was one of them, okay? You read 1st and 2nd Corinthians. That's a definition of messed up, okay? They were messed up. It was Titus who went. to set those guys straight and help them out. When there was the big debate in Jerusalem with the new Christians, whether or not you had to be a Jewish person in order to be a Christian, Paul took Titus, who was an uncircumcised Greek who loved and served Jesus, and the Jewish brothers just went, man, God has opened the door to the Gentiles. It was Titus. He sent him to Crete. And this is what he writes in this letter about. He's on his mission to Crete. And Paul knows the Cretans and says, look, they're a bunch of lazy gluttons. You're going to have to boot them a little. Give them a little boot in the behind to get them going. It's all in the Greek. Trust me. It's all there. And so he's doing all of it. And here he's talking to them. He's talking to Titus about what to keep reminding them of. And I just got to tell you, I've been reminded and re-reminded so many times I've lost count of these simple things that are absolutely true in our lives for eternity. Let me give you the first one. And I love this. And yes, it's that important that I had a siren go off. Yes. Verse 4. I love this statement. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. The kindness and love. You know what I've been discovering? What I am, a half a century after that day, I was blown away at God's kindness to me. I don't deserve it. I'm no different than anybody else. But it's astounding, this great love. And I love this. But when the kindness of God our Savior appeared, I mean, He showed up. He pursued us. And I'm going to tell you something. After you trust Jesus too, I mean, Jesus pursued me for those years coming up to the moment when I looked through my windshield and said, okay. But He continues to pursue us throughout our lives. You remember Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me, is the Hebrew word, all the days of my life. His kindness is astounding. Listen, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, God is not mad at you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your list of failures are. He is not angry with you, and His kindness and love will never end. My buddy Michael and I have a mutual friend. And that mutual friend we both love dearly. And I love Michael, and Michael loves me. But our mutual friend had helped Michael. Michael got into some financial problems, and our mutual friend loaned him a whole bunch of money. And Michael mismanaged all of that too. And he and our mutual friend have not talked in 15 years. And I was talking to our mutual friend this week. And our mutual friend, with tears in his eyes, said, I don't care about the money. I miss my friend. You see, he still loved Michael, no matter how bad he'd messed up. So I got to talk to Michael this week. I said, hey. He said to call him. He said he wants you to know that he loves you. I mean, this kind of kindness is astounding. I knew a woman some years ago who had had an affair. She was very ashamed about it. It was eating her alive, keeping the secret. It was really dangerous for her. She was slipping into a very deep depression. She was on drugs that helped her not be depressed. Her cause was that she had had this failure long ago that she had not been honest about. And so I told her, tell him. I know your husband. He loves you. Tell him. We'd had that conversation for a long time. And then one day, I saw her. And she looked so much different. There was a light back in her eye. And I said, what happened to you? She said, I told him. And you know what he told me? He told me he knew it all along and he was waiting for me to come to him and talk to him about it. She said, it's like a honeymoon at my house. Listen, God's kind of love for you, He is going to be so kind beyond your wildest imaginations. And the worst thing you can do is when you fail, slink away and think somehow it's over, because it sure isn't. He delights in his children. Do you remember the statement from one of John's letters? Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us. I love that word. The Father has lavished his love on us, that we should be called the children of God. I watch my buddy Aaron Bakke. He's got a grandson named Oscar. Oscar is the delight of Aaron's life. This kid loves that his grandpa, that his grampy is an excavator. He's got all these big machines out behind in there, and oh man, I got to tell you, we were out to eat with him, and Oscar was with us, and Oscar had his little machines with him. He had, you know, trucks, and he had a backhoe, but he didn't say it right. But it was time for them to go to sleep, so he turned them all over, and he said, "Night, night, ho." And all these people went. The little guy. Back home. He's the delight of Grandpa's life. He is. He comes over and he says, Grandpa, what's the name of that show, Aaron, you guys watch? Yeah, Barrett Jackson. Can we watch Barrett Jackson and eat popcorn and they watch Cars? Oh, Grampy, that's a nice one. He just delights in this kid. God delights in you the same way. He is going to pour into your life everything that you're gifted for, the things that you love. He loves that you love those things and you have gifts, that you're an actor or a singer or you write or you cook or you crochet or whatever it is. He'll keep bringing creative things into your life because he loves his children. He'll use you in his kingdom and realize that you're part of that too. He'll bring the right inspiration to you, the open doors of opportunity. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, man, he showed up. So his love and kindness never ends. I have learned that over 50 years. The song that I learned in the First Congregational Church downtown Pontiac, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, I was 5 years old. That song rings more true today than it did then. And that was 60-something years ago, and I'm not going to tell you the exact number. His love and kindness never end. Second of all, his forgiveness is complete and eternal. Verses 5 through 7 says this. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out generously on us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And you say, how can you attach that to thinking about the forgiveness? God forgave our past and deals with our present failures in this statement. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. Do you know when you came to Jesus, your sins were washed in rebirth, being born into God's family? It was the prophet Isaiah, and I love Isaiah. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, stained, they will be white as snow. Your past has been washed away. You are not defined by your past. I got to tell you, Sherry, you don't remember this, but when your dad died, there was that beautiful funeral at St. Hugo Church. You know, that's a pretty upscale church, right? So being Sherry's pastor, I wanted to make a good impression. So I got out my Beth suit and, you know, made sure that all my grooming was just so. And on my way, I was hungry and I got an Egg McMuffin. That's when I made my first mistake. So I go to the church, you know, and they go through all of that, and it's beautiful, and I'm greeting all of Sherry's family with, and I get out to the car, and I pull down the visor, and I got a piece of egg stuck right there. And none of those dang Catholics told me, let the Protestant boy have egg on his face. It's too good. It's too good. You know, and your sin does that to you. We think we are stained. I was going somewhere the other day, and sure enough, I was eating in the car again. And drop something on my shirt. I can't go with a stain. I'm not going to go in. You know, it's the first thing you see, you know. That's how we feel about our sin, right? I want you to know when you came to Jesus, your past was expunged. It's gone. It was washed away by the blood of Jesus. But there's something else. It says here that he saved us through the washing of rebirth. And get this, and renewal in the Holy Spirit. That speaks about our present and future struggles we're going to have. His forgiveness is complete and eternal. It's amazing. And check this out. How does he dish out this kind of forgiveness? All right? It says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I wish you could have been with me 40 years ago in a little cabin up on top of a hill that had about a 10-mile view from Wolverine, Michigan to Vanderbilt, the back of my in-law's house. And the best time of the day was about 6:30 in the morning when you would wake up and Barbara Jean was cooking breakfast. And you didn't have to give your order because Barbara Jean cooked everything at breakfast. Toast, biscuits, eggs, sausage, bacon, pancakes. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And then, of course, all the jellies were, you know, she had canned them all. And they were to each bite put you into the stratosphere. They were so good. Let me tell you how she dished it. She gave you everything all the time. I miss her. I miss her kitchen. And I miss her. How she loves us. But she's off in glory having a great time. Everything you could think of was given to you. I want you to know that God's forgiveness of you, do you know how he dishes it? It says that he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. The forgiveness he has given you. God doesn't dole out his forgiveness with an eyedropper. He doles it out with a backhoe. That's right. He does. And I love that. You know, so he's buried our sin in the depths of the sea. One thing I've known, he never brings it up again. Never again. In fact, it was little Corrie Ten Boom, if you ever knew her. She was that wonderful girl who was in a Nazi concentration camp. Little Dutch girl who was precious. I knew her when she was in her 80s. She's long gone. But she said that the Lord, He buried our sins in the depths of the sea, and then he put up a sign that said, no fishing allowed. So quit fishing. Quit fishing for it. Yeah, you've got memory of it, but he does not hold that against you. Something happened to you when you came to Jesus. Two things. It says here, so that it says in verse 7, so that having been justified by his grace, you know what happened to you? You have become, because of Jesus, you have become just like you never failed, just like you've never sinned. That's what justification means. It means Jesus took our shame, our guilt, our penalty, all of it when he died on the cross. Only God could have done that. Talk to a Jehovah's Witness friend who does not accept that Jesus was God. I said to him, then you're lost, pal. Because he's either God who could carry infinitely all the sin of all the world or not at all. You are just like you never sinned because of justification. He took it. There's another thing in the Bible that's called imputation. You know what that means? It means the righteousness that Jesus has now clothed you. That forgiveness is complete and eternal. It's amazing to me. One more thing. Not only have I learned over these 50 years so many thousand times I can't recall that God's kindness and love for us is boundless. I mean, there are not words to describe this, but his forgiveness is complete and eternal. And one more thing. Because of all of that, we are not crippled. They're told what the response of sense,
We have come to Jesus. We are now able to do things we could never do before. And here's that list. Here's a trustworthy saying, he says in verse 8. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in Christ may be careful to devote, to take as their occupation, to work at maintaining themselves to do what is good. Now, we're able to do what we never could. Peter and John, in Acts chapter 3, are at the temple. Jesus has just gone back to heaven. The boys are going to the temple at the time of prayer. There's a man who has been lame since birth sitting at the gate. As they're walking in, Peter sees him and says, look at us. And the dude's thinking, going to get cash, man. That's why he's at the gate. He knows the religious people are the most compassionate kind. So you work on religious people, okay? There's a lot of people that come to the doors here asking for money all the time. Some of them are legitimate. A whole lot of them aren't because they've learned how to work the religious people. But this guy is there. And Peter says, look at us. And he looks at them expecting to get money. And he says, silver and gold I don't have. But what I have, I'm going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Do what you've never done before. Stand up. Walk. I mean, this guy was just hoping to get a few rubles. And God gave him more than he could ever dream. I just love that. Now listen, you're told to do things you've never been able to do before. Like some of us had trouble loving people, right? You come to Jesus as an angry, angry man. Clint Pruitt sits in the back here most Sundays. He's not here today because it's really nice and he's got a motorcycle. I think that's what's happening today. Pray for him. All y'all, okay? Yeah. He was the most angry man I ever met, and I have really met some in my life, okay? He was the most angry. And Jesus caused him to love people like I just can't imagine. He comes to me, this big tough guy, just didn't shoot you as look at you, comes to me weeping over this young mother who has children, and he's trying to help her. And I'm thinking, God is real, and amen. Because he changed. This guy could never walk. Maybe you have trouble. You've come to Christ. God has forgiven you. You know what that makes you? That makes you dangerous. Because you have nothing to lose. So that means the people that you've hurt in your life, you can do what you've never had power to do before. That is to go back to them and tell them the truth. I'm sorry I did that to you. That must have hurt you. But you see, since you're right with God about it, you got nothing to lose. And you can be just dangerous. Because once you get right with those people, they can't be angry at you anymore. And guess what happens with them? The door of their hearts will open to the living God. Come on, man. Do what you didn't think you could ever do. This guy never thought he could walk. And I love this. It says Peter reached down and grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. The Greek there, the original language of the Bible, is that he jerked him up, okay? He snatched that boy off the ground. We need to help one another be snatched off the ground and start doing the things that we've never been able to do before. You know, maybe you've hid for all these years. You know, you've been ashamed of your sin. You don't have to be ashamed of it anymore. Just tell the truth. What has the Lord done for you? He forgave me of all of that. So yeah, I did it. I did it. You don't have to hide it anymore. You don't have to pretend. Did you hear about the guy that, because it's dangerous, you know, to be honest, right? Because people will know your secrets and that's awful. But did you hear about the guy that was in a car accident? This guy got in a car accident with a truck carrying a horse trailer. Okay, and he was injured in it, and so he's talking to his insurance company about compensation, and the insurance person says, "Wait, now listen. On the police report, it said here that when the policeman asked you if you were all right, you said you were fine, and now you're saying you were injured." He goes, "No. You got to take it in context. That horse that was in the trailer had a broken leg, and the cop pulled out his gun and went, boom." And shot the horse. And with the gun smoking, he walked over to me and said, "You okay?" "I'm fine. I'm fine." Right? It's dangerous. It's dangerous, to be honest. But now that you got it right with the Lord and your eternity is set and these things are absolutely true, you are not crippled anymore. It's time for us as God's people to move on. And to just keep going from glory to glory, learning these things over, and these simple same things over and over and over again. I have, you will too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the patience of your people today. Thank you for your word and for this incredible truth that you love us and you just keep pouring it out. That you have forgiven us, and your forgiveness is unending and eternal. You've forgiven us in Christ. And now you tell us to get on with it and to devote ourselves, to make our occupation doing what's good and best for others. Father, thank you for giving us the ability to do what we've never been able to do by your Spirit. Bless everybody in this room. Father, thank you, Lord, that you called your son Jesus out of the grave to show us this is absolutely true. We worship and honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.